This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. Listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We are going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How are we?
Good morning.
I'm good. I'm good. Beautiful morning this morning.
Yeah.
It's warm out.
Nice and warm, yes.
Welcome back. We missed you for your birthday.
Well, thank you.
Is that good?
Thank you. I had a good time.
You feel older? Here.
Yes. Yeah.
You missed being here? Is that what you said?
Yeah, kind of.
Aw.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. I miss when I'm not here.
We miss you too. Well, I wasn't trying to imply that.
No, I know what you mean.
But it's very nice.
Kenny is this the straw that stirs the drink, so he's got to be here.
I got you.
Mark, wow. Tip your microphone up a little.
Oh, is that me?
Straw that serves the drink.
Stirs it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
I heard it differently way over here.
Well, it's possibly that I said it differently because, you know, I trip over my words half the time.
Let's see. We've got garden classes in both stores today in San Diego. It's going to be pollinators.
Pollinators,
for
yeah.
For your yard.
Kathleen was supposed to.
Oh, but
she's going to be out today.
She's going to be out.
Ryan's going to do the class.
Oh, okay.
Equally as good.
And then in a very popular class in Poway today is going to be Staghorn Care and Remounting. I take it you are doing that one?
Currently, that is the plan.
That's the plan?
And I still am planning on doing it, I guess. Is that right?
It is a good class.
I assume so. Yeah, it'll be a good class, I'm sure.
It's a good class because it breaks it down and shows you how easy it actually is. A lot of people are very afraid to do that.
That is the truth.
It's intimidating, and it's right. Not.
You know, the first thing I say in the class is you can't tell anybody how easy it is.
Yeah, because then...
And
then,
you go out on the radio and say it to everybody?
I could take it back. I don't know if... Are we recording this?
I believe so, but it's okay.
Thanks, George.
All right. You'll have more people there now.
You thunder stealer.
You'll have more people there now.
All right. Yes. Remounting and care. When do we do it? When they fall off the wall and you have to.
That's usually when people do it.
Yeah.
Usually after a big rainstorm, there's a...
Yeah.
Well, sometimes actually, they just get too big and they start going away from the board that they're on and start... You know,
correct.
Take
on
over.
The wall or the fence or your tree, and so it's time to take them down and remount them.
That is another time. When they start growing on the house, people become concerned.
That's right.
Time for the classes. In San Diego, classes start at 9 o'clock. In Poway, they start at 9:30. If you're going to go to the class in San Diego, I recommend getting there early.
Yeah,
get a parking space.
Exactly.
Parking is not an option?
Well, it's, yeah. You got to get there early.
Did you guys get any rain? You're saying when they
supposedly
get rain, they fall
rained.
Off the wall.
Well, I showed up at work on Wednesday morning or whatever it was, and there was puddles. And I'm like, because I didn't know it. Of course, I have the roof off in the back.
You brought us this rain.
No, I know. But it was like I did not hear the rain. I did not see the rain at my house or puddles at my house. But when I got to the nursery, there was a lot of puddles. I was like, leave the water on, or what happened?
I didn't hear the rain the other night either, but Melanie did because she got up and closed windows because I slept through the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't.
When I got home Tuesday afternoon, it was still hot out, and I parked out front, so I left all the windows of the car wide open, so
it didn't
get too hot. And about 3:15, I woke up and it was pouring, so I had to run out and.
Close all your windows.
Close all the windows in the car. And it was raining quite a bit. It was early.
That's always
fun. Yeah.
However, when I got down to the end of the driveway, my recycling bin had not been picked up. There wasn't enough rain in the gutter to wash it down the street, which does happen. So did get lucky there.
Yes.
Well, that was fortunate.
Yes, very fortunate. Sorry, please continue.
Let's see. Next week in San Diego, the class is going to be on plant propagation. That's going to be taught by
Richard.
But not Richard Wright.
No, not Richard Wright.
Okay. Just want to clarify that. And in Poway, it's going to be cactus and succulents with Dean. And I can't remember the name of Dean's
Gnosis.
Gnosis.
With a silent
with a G.
Yes. Gnosis.
Greek. Gnosis.
Okay.
So he's going to bring in some very unusual cactus and succulents.
And have them for sale. And,
which will be for sale if you want to add some interesting things to your collection. It's the middle of August, so fall bulbs should be
couple of weeks away.
Yeah, they're usually come in sometime the middle to the end, beginning of September, whatever. But what the first ones we usually get are the bearded iris.
Bearded
correct?
Iris. Yeah. And those usually come. Yeah. About right about this time of the year.
Correct.
When they start coming in. So and then you get ranunculus, anemones.
Yeah. But
I think most of that is expected the first week of September, the last week around Labor Day.
Yeah.
Which is not that far off.
Which isn't really that far off. No, it's. I can't believe this. Can't believe the summer has disappeared.
Oh, there's plenty of hot still here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, usually August, September are the.
But as long as it cools down at night and I can sleep, it's okay.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, but it really hasn't been cooling down very much.
Cool down. We were down at Point Loma last night. We came home and downstairs is always fine in the house, and it went up. And when we were outside, it was actually pretty cool. And then I said, "Well, I think we'll be able to get by with just opening the windows and stuff upstairs." And I walked upstairs like,
nope,
not going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's something about, I don't know, it's weird that it would be warmer upstairs than downstairs.
That heat rises thing?
Yeah.
You had the heat on upstairs and the air conditioning downstairs.
That must explain why the top of the pickle jar that had been sitting out of the refrigerator was warmer than the bottom, or the bottom was cooler. It's got something, okay.
Let's see, what else is going on? We're starting to get some citrus and avocados back in stock again.
You had a customer call yesterday call for a particular avocado yesterday that we didn't have.
You're not going to say cultivar?
A particular cultivar. And I went out and I hadn't noticed all the new avocados. And it took me a few minutes to go through each one to look for what that gentleman wanted. We have so many out there. It's just a lot more than we've had in the past.
We just got in a big order, big delivery of 15s, and I was fortunate enough to be out there to help them unload the truck. It was very exciting.
There's a lot of avocados.
We got in 15-gallon Haas, Fuerte, Reed, and Stewart's.
And they're nice. They're nice-looking trees.
And we have a large selection of 5 gallons as well.
Including there's still a few gems out there?
Gems. I saw some Carmens and a couple others, so.
We also got in some citrus that we hadn't had in a while. We've got 5 gallon, I'm pretty sure they're semi-dwarf Calamundin limes, which people had been asking about for a while.
Yeah, a year.
Yeah. Fingered citrons came in. What else? There were some Caracara navel oranges out there, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Oh, do I like tell. Those. Yeah.
What's the problem with Caracara? They had them
at the store. So, give one of those a try. Just didn't have much flavor to it.
Yeah, you must have had a one that was not picked at the right time because they're an excellent orange.
Is it?
They are an excellent orange.
Well, I will try one that's picked at the
right time. I've had them from David's tree. I have a tree at the house in PQ. And then I know that we've purchased them up at Costco in the bag, and they've been delicious.
I'll have to try it again because the ones that I got, which it's. You can. They had no flavor to it.
They were like beets.
No, they weren't like beets. He still ate it. He didn't spit it out.
So.
They didn't taste like dirt. They just didn't have any flavor to them at all.
Any piece of fruit can be a bad piece of fruit.
Yeah.
And don't write off a whole variety because of
one poor taste
I can't eat store-bought citrus because it is relatively flavorless in my opinion.
For the most part, it tends to be.
It's not as flavorful, I should say.
On the other hand, though, too, usually store-bought citrus is going to be navel oranges, which is fine, but Valencia oranges really have. I think they have much better flavor to them than navel oranges.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But they're harder.
But
to
that's
get
why
to.
They. That's why they. That's why they are used so commonly for juice.
Well, I think that's why they're better or more flavorful. Air quotes around that is because there's so much more juice.
Correct.
In a Valencia than in a Nebel. So
that's true, but they can be. They tend to be harder to peel, and the true Valencias have a ton of seeds in them too.
You cut those. Well, that's where you quarter those.
But the Valencias that we get now, the Midnight Valencia, is a seedless variety.
Yes, it is.
However, for those of you who enjoy the pith, the oils in the Valencia orange will sting my mouth and lips, where the navel orange
most people are concerned about
does not
that,
does not do that. Yes, I wanted to clear
the air on that
for everybody.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
for all you pith eaters out there,
We got some 15-gallon figs in too.
Yes,
and those are very nice trees. If you like figs,
are those a
figs
problem
are
too?
So easy to grow.
They're incredibly easy to grow.
They are.
Yeah,
it's funny. I'm not a fig. Typically, I'm not a fig eater. Every once in a while, every year, I'll walk through the nursery and find one that's ripe and pull it off and eat it and think it's great.
They are great. Yeah. What variety
prefer,
do you get?
If I'm going to eat figs, I like them dried.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because I had some dried figs fresh off the tree last night.
Dried figs fresh off the tree.
You neglected to harvest.
You didn't harvest them?
Well, they're my celestials, and they will begin to dry on the tree, and they become concentrated sugar dots. And they're not completely dry, but they are not completely fresh either, even though they are fresh off the tree. And they were really good. And I remember last year complaining to you guys on the air. I know you're going to find that hard to believe that I was complaining on the air about the Black Mission figs, because they're such a short period of time between when they're need to be eaten and when they're gone. And I've had very good Mission figs this year.
Very good.
I don't know. It must have something to do with timing.
Weather as well, I'm sure. Heat. The varieties in Poway, what did we get in the 15s? I didn't notice them.
We got Mission, Black Mission, Brown Turkey, Panache, and I think Cadota is the fourth one. The first three I'm sure of. The fourth one.
Brown Turkey, I can back you up on that one, because I did see the tag on that.
It isn't White Cadota. It was
Genoa.
No, the other one. The one we can only get from Durling's. Garnsey.
Oh, Garnsey.
Garnsey
okay,
White.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I think they're proprietary fig, and we have a ginormous one. That 24-inch box against the back fence is a Garnsey. It's a good.
I don't think I've tasted
fig.
That.
Is it producing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. I haven't had any. I've been looking at them because they're talking to me.
Yeah, right. We have to check that out.
I've ignored them recently.
I don't think we haven't harvested much off of the fig that's in the parking lot this season.
The second crop is now ready.
Is it?
Yeah, our second crop, the first crop did not turn out.
When you say
too well.
We haven't, you mean you haven't.
Yeah, because
it sounds like it's the second crop
is ready.
Well,
I noticed last week, actually, I think it was last Saturday morning after radio. I typically make a right turn when I go into our parking lot, and I made a left turn and went past the Corky's Honey Delight fig to see. The Breba crop came and went early, and it was delish and bigger fruit.
The fruit, I did see some in the break room this year, and it was quite good sized fruit.
So,
and again, not that anybody cares, but I mean,
we care, Mark.
One fig a year is enough for me. I mean, to be honest with you,
one.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, I pick it off and I eat it, and I think that's good, but I don't do any more than that. But it was. Yeah, but when you get a good one, and they're tasty.
I almost brought figs this morning. Maybe I'll bring them next week.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have one.
Well, you could have brought them last week.
Did I say last week?
No.
Next week.
I wasn't.
Kent's point is I wasn't here, so don't bring them in. I don't want them anyway.
I was thinking about bringing them today, but there's dust on them. And if I rinse them and put them in a bag, they're going to be kind of gross by the time they get here, and then I didn't want to give you dusty ones, because then Ken's going to say they taste like the dirt on beets, and I couldn't take it. I'm very sensitive.
Right. I was going to say.
All right.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, we would love to talk to you. 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 1-888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. Was reading a very interesting article the other day. This was Thursday. Bayer, which has sold off most of their residential chemical lines, has announced that they are going to be removing glyphosate from the residential Roundup market by the year 2023, which is
right around the corner.
It's also kind of interesting because they're removing glyphosate from the market, but they're not removing Roundup from the market. So they're going to use the trademark name of Roundup, but they're going to put a different chemical
which everybody's doing now, which can be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a real problem. We've talked about it before. Some of the common things that you see. Probably the biggest one that I've noticed is seven.
Seven, yeah.
Which was forever was Carbaryl.
Yeah,
it's not anymore. I don't even know what it is. I looked at it a while back.
Different things in different containers.
But it's the same name, but it's a different chemical. And the one that's probably the most problematic is Bonide's 8 product, because it comes in a ready to spray, comes in a concentrate spray,
a dust,
yeah. And there's one. I think there's four. I think there's four different things under the Bonide 8 name, and I think there's 3 different chemicals that they use.
That's crazy because
you can't just
go by seven.
You can't just
or
go
by eight,
go by. Whatever. You can't go by, well, especially with eight. You can't just go by eight because it's a different label for each of those products because it's a different chemical in them. So you have to. You should always read the label anyway, whether you follow it or not. But you should always read the label and go by what the label says. But it can be a problem when you have a trademark name. It's just the name that's trademarked and not what's in the.
It's like what's in, I mean, Ortho does the Weed Be Gone, which is now.
That's
there's it. 4 or 5 different Weed Be Gones. I mean,
yeah, there's maybe three. They've narrowed it down, but there were quite a few.
With the Roundup though.
Well, the CEO of Bayer said specifically, this is not because of a safety concern. It is to mitigate litigation risk. They said it was just to get rid of the court cases as opposed to being concerned about safety.
But
they're still going to carry it in their commercial products, I think.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, what surprises me is it's the name that has the stigma.
Sure.
Not the ingredients therein. And so it makes no sense to keep the name and change the product, in my opinion. But, you know, what the heck do I know? I eat beets, so who knows? But it just.
Well, you,
but
you,
that's it. If it's for safety and.
If it's gonna be about litigation, then if you still have if because what you everything that I've seen or a lot of what I've seen is Roundup litigation. If you still got the name out there,
right.
Then it muddies. It just completely muddies the water.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So, anyway.
That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, we all agree.
All in agreement.
Well, Mark didn't say anything.
Well, I totally agree with you. Okay. But yeah.
There we go.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number, and we would love to talk to you, just like we were going to talk to Harry up in Fallbrook. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Hi, good morning. On lawns, if you sit on a lawn and you have sandals or whatever, there seems to be an insect that bites your feet. And I was just wondering if you know anything about it and how it can be controlled.
The most common biter would be fleas.
Fleas are definitely one. And then you have an issue with those little red ants up in your neighborhood.
Oh, that is very, very true. They are they're not the red imported fire ant. They were a southern fire ant. They're the domestic one. They're tiny little ants, and they'll get on you and have a good old time on your feet.
If it's a shaded area, too, mosquitoes come out and light on leaves, on grass sections.
You know, we usually
shade.
Don't see a lot of foot biting from bugs in the lawn, but we have seen quite a few springtails in the last few weeks, which do get on people, and they look like fleas, and they jump on you, but they are not doing anything. They're not biting, and they're not doing anything like that, but it might be something that just is being associated with the biting because they're jumping on you.
Yeah. Well, these things actually bite, they leave marks, and it gets very itchy also.
Sounds like that ant, the fire ant.
Okay, I think you would see
them on you. I mean, if you're bit and you look down, you would see the ants on you.
Right, but you don't see them.
Is this in the shade section of the yard, or is it just full sun?
Is it what?
In a shaded section of the lawn area, or full sun?
Both.
Because I know that in our lawn areas, if I walk in the shade, there's I do get bit by mosquitoes, particularly at dusk, towards the latter part of the day, but not in the sun section until it's dark.
Well, I think the solution to the situation is pretty much any lawn insect control is going to take care of the problem, whether it's a spray or a granule. Either one of those should take care of the problem for you. If you wanted to do a more natural control, you could probably even use the beneficial nematodes.
Or the diatomaceous earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just got in diatomaceous earth. We just got in a new Bayer lawn insect product that is cyfluthrin.
No.
The synthetic
that
pyrethrin.
Would do it.
And that would take care of everything that's down there as well.
Okay. But what kind of an insect do you think it is?
I think listed off the things that we kind of think it could possibly be, but most of those should have been visible. So I would say.
Now, would a flea bite you and then jump off right away?
Sure.
Or?
Absolutely they do.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if it's fleas, then what's the best control for them?
Well, cyfluthrin.
Yeah, a good lawn insect control should take care of it.
You can get that in a liquid and granular.
Yeah, hose and sprayer would probably be the easiest way to apply it.
How about diatomaceous earth?
You can do that.
It also works, but once it gets wet, it becomes quite as useful.
And you want to be very careful not to inhale the dust from diatomaceous earth because it can be bothersome to your respiratory system.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Harry. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number.
Oh, no, I was smiling because I was whispering diatomaceous earth, and you said, you know, say it. they couldn't read my lips. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, pretty much.
Gotcha.
And neither could we.
That stuff's hard to hard to apply.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no easy way to.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, like David said.
Yeah.
And a
whirlybird, that doesn't.
No.
That doesn't work.
No. You need a full hazmat suit if you're going to put it in a whirlybird.
Yeah, if you're going to do that.
Or a dust mask or a.
N95.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and a respirator.
Everybody has one now.
Yeah, everybody has one. So. Yeah.
Let's see if it'll filter out diatomaceous earth.
Yeah.
What was the what were those passion fruit vines that we got in? Were those Fredericks?
You know, I never heard back.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
I'm going with Frederick just from the size of the fruit.
They were huge.
Yeah.
I mean, almost almost baseball size. Yeah. And they were loaded with fruit, too.
Yeah, they were.
I had a gentleman call yesterday because he had some beautiful passion vines growing in his yard that he purchased from us and was hopeful that they were, in fact, the edible kind. And a friend asked him what they were, and he had no idea. And his friend told him, you know, that there are many passion vines that don't give you fruit. And so he started to panic on whether he bought flowering or non, you know, fruiting or non-fruiting. So we went through a whole ID and pretty confident he bought the edible type. He's going to bring a leaf in.
Well, the leaf color.
The leaf color, the leaf shape is a bit dead giveaway, and I tried to describe it to him, but he's going to bring a leaf in just to make sure. But.
That's probably better.
Yeah, we sell a ton of passion fruit, and if you have
we've been selling quite a bit of it.
Yeah,
it's such an easy plant once it gets really going. Is. You get it through the first year, and it just takes off.
Yeah.
Thrives, given the right conditions.
Not if it's still sitting in its original container on the patio.
Well, if you water it, it probably still...
It's still alive. Yeah. I have been watering it. I've been very diligent about that.
What variety did you bring home? Yet, huh?
I don't know.
We have
edgeless, but I don't know which
one. We have
one.
An Ava.
Ave Maria?
Ave Maria. We have that sitting in a container, and that's been in a container for way too long. That needs to go in the ground. But that has the yellow kind of banana-shaped fruit.
My neighbor got some avocado trees about the same time I got mine, but she put hers in the ground. Mine are still in their original containers. And it's amazing how much quicker, how much bigger they grow faster in the ground than in a container.
Go figure.
Yeah. Can't understand that. Yeah. There must be some science behind it somewhere.
I wonder if it's got anything to do with the heat rising or I don't know. But
if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
That's Herb Alpert, right?
Yes, it is.
Which tune?
Route 101.
Thank you.
Yeah. My dad loved Herb Alpert.
My folks,
so did my mom.
The whipped cream album and the covered.
Yeah. I actually have that album on vinyl still from my parents.
Yeah, my parents had that too when I was a kid. He actually has a supper club up in Beverly Hills. It's called Vibrato. We were actually going to go up there in October, I think it was, and check it out. And so. Sounds pretty cool.
Probably have a couple of extra dates available to you in October now.
Yeah, probably. And we saw him the summer before COVID at Humphreys. And
good.
He was outstanding. I mean, God, he's in his 80s and was up there
blowing a trumpet.
Playing like somebody half his age, yeah. It was an interesting show because he gave you the backstory of a lot of stuff as he was playing stuff throughout that he had written throughout his career. Excellent show. If you ever have a chance to see him in person, I highly recommend it. I was walking around the receiving area day before yesterday, and we got some vignas, some snail vines in. And what caught my eye was they were white.
So the Jefferson eye or whatever?
Well, then I walked by them the next day, and they had started to turn purple. So apparently I didn't realize this, but it looks like the flowers start out white and then they slowly fade to purple as they get mature.
It's like your cleanser. Shakes out white, turns blue. I think it's I think it is Jefferson-ike starts something, starts yeah. the letter Jefferson.
Yeah, something
is it
like
Thomas
that.
Jefferson.
I believe Jefferson. It was named after.
That's a an underrated plant. I think it's very pretty.
It grows like crazy.
Yeah.
Once they get going, they grow like crazy.
Yeah, we had one growing out of a crack in the slab at the nursery in Poway.
Well, there used to be that one in the big pot with the half fountain that was there for a long time, and I think it.
That's what took. Yeah.
Yeah. It rooted off of that.
It's funny because some people can't grow them, but yet they can come up, like you said, in a crack somewhere. They're easy to grow typically.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they susceptible to spider mites?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they get...
An aphid. Just,
yeah.
You know what else is a huge spider mite magnet? And I've known it for a while, but I just saw a really good example of it the other day around the corner from our house. Naked coral tree. Erythrina coralloides.
Yes.
I mean, my neighbors have one just down the street from us, and it's got to be 20 feet by 20 feet, something like that. I mean, it's a huge tree. It is completely covered with spider mites.
Huh.
Completely. So it's a tough one to control.
It is, because systemics don't work. So
right.
You
Not
really,
very well.
Yeah, if you've got a big tree.
It's like you want to go hose spray, it off, yeah, but it's pretty hard to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, although the BioAdvance 3-in-1 does have a good miticide in it. That would probably be the spray. The spray,
yeah. Not a systemic.
No.
You can pour in the ground.
No.
Right.
It is a systemic, but it's a spray.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a root drench.
Yeah, not a root.
For the really big trees.
Yeah. But it's amazing how badly they can get infested with them. And it just completely changes the look of the tree.
Yes. The foliage color is
kind
different.
Of a silver.
Well, just like your tomatoes
color.
That go from a dark, lush green to kind of a orange speckled.
Yeah, I've never had a big problem with spider mite on tomatoes. I know it can be a problem. Oh,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I do.
Well, get out the sulfur.
Although I did do a test this season, and if you don't water your tomatoes during the 90-degree heat of summer.
Even the mites don't live through it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's a good point.
That's one way to reduce the mite population in your tomatoes.
I was doing mite control. Thank you. Thank you very much.
At the Poway store, our corpse flower has reemerged from dormancy much quicker than it did the last time.
Well, it's about 5 or 6 weeks now from nothing.
No, I know, but when the last time it went dormant for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
But once it started growing.
But it also grew for a much longer period of time the last time it was in a growth mode. So we need to figure out how much it's growing a day, but it's starting to put on some growth.
We could
now.
Put something in there, a yardstick behind it. I just don't want anybody to drive it into the soil and pierce the bulb.
Damage the roots.
The tuber or the corm or whatever.
That
is
an excellent point.
It is. The roots have all come up to the top. I need to put some bark around it because the roots are right at the surface now.
This is our fourth year with it?
I think so.
So fourth year. When are we going to get the smell where we can't enter the nursery?
Sometime between 4 and 8 years.
So we're getting close.
We're getting close.
All right.
I was sent pictures of a bulb a little bit older than ours in a wagon being taken someplace out public in San Francisco. And it showed the lady pulling a wagon with her blooming corpse flower in it.
Well, they had a big one at the conservatory in Golden Gate Park a few years ago when we were up there, and it was massive. But it was probably somewhere between 15 and 20 feet tall.
Wow.
And at the base of the trunk, the base of the trunk was probably about 6 or 8 inches in diameter. But the pot that it was in was really small. I mean, I was shocked that it could.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah.
Support itself in a container that was that small.
Yeah, we have the one down in Point Loma. It's probably 5 feet tall, something like that. Yeah.
How old is yours, Mark?
Yeah, it's a great question. I honestly don't know.
It is.
Oh, it's probably the same.
Probably the same
crop.
Okay. I think it is from the same seed crop as ours. I think they've had theirs a year less or 6 months
something
less,
like
but
that,
it's from
yeah.
the same crop. So our original plant we received in Poway in July of 2018. It looks good in October of 2019. And it's going dormant in April of 2020. 2021, and then it just came out.
It's a short dormancy.
It was a very short dormancy. Yeah, because last time it was dormant for several months.
Well, last time it was dormant for a significant in the Poway store. I remember some of our yard guys and wanted to clean up and they wanted to get rid of
throw
their
it
pot.
Away.
They
yeah.
thought it was just a pot sitting there.
And it was less than an inch tall on the 8th of July, and now it's probably a little over a foot tall.
Yeah.
So just a little over a month.
Yeah.
And it's going to grow even faster now.
It's just going to continue to accelerate. Right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We were going to talk about gophers and how much fun they are.
Yeah. George had a good experience.
Well, we all have gopher problems, but a couple months ago I put some low voltage lighting in up at Capri's, and we were very celebrating that there's lights when you go down the steps at night. And so when I was leaving one night, I noticed that the lights weren't on in all the spots that I put the lights, and coincidentally a gopher was captured nearby, and so I ended up digging up and found out that the gopher had actually chewed through the electrical wiring in their making their tunnel path under the sidewalk. So they also chew wires in addition to roots.
You know, we need the Bugs Bunny voice saying, "Of course you know, this means war."
Well, it does. So I purchased another gopher hawk the other night.
What's a gopher hawk?
A gopher hawk is another tool in eradicating gophers. There's the Maccabee traps. There's the, what's the box one called?
Black hole and black box.
There's the half shell.
Right. And so the gopher hawk is just a pole that has a spring loaded pole with a trap at the bottom. And it's very easy to insert. Anyway, I put it in yesterday morning, went back up after work and had a gopher in it.
So now, you don't have to excavate. You don't have to dig for that.
You just probe it. You probe a little bit and then you enlarge it. It's a three piece system. One you with a probe, you find the tunnel. The second one is a wedge that opens it up a tiny bit, and then you insert the tube.
And it's supposed to be very effective.
Well, I put it in yesterday morning and had a gopher when I got off work. So
the Ramona Valley Vintners Association swears by gopher hawks. I think that's what most of the vineyards use up in Ramona.
You don't have to dig. That's a big plus.
And it indicates whether or not it's been tripped.
Well, that's a nice thing, too. I got off work and I called Capri over and I said, "We got a gopher." And she goes, How do you know? The spring, you can tell the spring, it shows a yellow band when it's triggered. So you can see it because it's triggered. Now, I've had false positives, much like COVID tests, I guess, false positives because.
And triggers.
Well, because, if the gopher hits the side of it, maybe it'll spring. But this was a confirmed.
Confirmed kill.
Well, confirmed kill.
To that point, the black hole and the black box both have the spring that pops up.
And
so when it is triggered, you can see it without having to excavate.
Right. I've used those as well. I think I like the gopher hawk more.
More better?
Much more better-er. I think that's the correct English.
I got two this week. One was with the half shell, and which is the black box, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, and the other was with the black hole.
But I did
have to do a little excavating.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going over to the San Diego Botanical Garden where John is waiting. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Well, we have, starting today, I actually went to the opening last night. We're having a bromeliad show in our conservatory starting today through the middle of September. And we have gathered, the cost of the number of bromeliads that are in there would be a king's ransom. Really nice, big stuff, and grouped in giant groupings, and it's very artful. If you were at the orchid show we had in April, it's done like that. So it's really not just plants on tables. It's stuff where it's very artfully put together, and it should be a big hit.
And then
we're also having sales. Vendors will also be there selling really cool hard-to-get bromeliads during the weekend, during the run of the show, too.
Oh, outstanding. I will have to. Melanie and I have been talking about coming over for a visit, so I will have to make a point of doing that. It sounds like a wonderful show.
Yeah, I think people will really enjoy it. And it's included in the price of admission. And if you're a member, of course, it's free. It's the best deal in town. I think it's $89 for a family membership, and you can come every day but Christmas. So that's a pretty good deal.
Then not a bad deal at all. Okay, well, we will definitely have to check that out. And that the show opens when?
It opens today.
Oh, today?
9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock, and it runs through the middle of September?
Correct.
Okay, we'll have to check that out. Thanks for the call, John.
You betcha. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
You know, I was going to mention when we were talking about the corpse flower, when we went to the Christmas event two seasons ago, they had a bunch of corpse flowers in that conservatory.
Oh, do they?
Were they blooming or just the
plants? No, just the plants. Well, but that conservatory is awesome.
I haven't been there yet.
I was assuming he had that the botanical garden had one that was blooming, and he was calling to let us know.
They had a great display. They have a bunch of garden art, driftwood, and all types of tropical plants, either on the wall or hanging from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pretty. And there are a lot of plants even that I don't particularly care for, but they look nice the way they're set up. I'm not a big tropical.
Because you can't eat them.
Well, But anyway, they're done very well. It's a great venue to go in.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you, on this harvest moon.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. In the studio here, we've got three TV monitors that are tuned to various news stations here in town. And I saw the article online yesterday that they caught another murder hornet in Washington State.
Really?
Yeah.
And they put little transmitters on them, right? So
I don't know if they did this time or not, but it's the first one in 2021 that they've caught. So even though they got that big nest of them last year, it appears they have not been eradicated from the Pacific Northwest.
I think it was on social media. A friend had posted who's up in Skagit Valley or something like that, that they had found a couple in there. They put little transmitters on them, but they haven't found where they go. So now they're looking for the nest. The transmitters, they transmit for 2 weeks, so they have 2 weeks to
try to zero
find
in
out
on where they're
where
at.
They are, yeah.
I don't think that's a job I would want.
Chasing murder hornets in the woods of Washington? Yeah. I don't know. That'd be
sounds like something you would enjoy.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
So. Now
it is what it is, but
I don't think I don't know, but there's a giant hornet that lives in the forest over in Japan that's extremely aggressive. And apparently they can kill you if you mix it up enough with them. But I don't know if it's the same one or not. But I don't think I'm going to try to find out.
No. That's where you turn and run away. I would
as fast as you can. Well, yep. I was sitting there watching these guys cutting the it's not on now, but they were cutting the logs open to see if there was a nest in there. And he's pushing the chainsaw down. And as soon as the chainsaw goes through, he
takes
runs
off.
Away. Yeah. Yeah. So
I tried that once out back. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
With
a hive.
With
something?
A hive. Yeah.
It didn't end well.
Well, it didn't end too badly. I only got stung twice. And
what kind of hive was it?
Remember that one? I was. I. It was a beehive. Well, we thought it was a honey beehive. It probably was a honey beehive.
Oh, at the nursery?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when it was stuck between the two pallets.
Of plywood.
Yeah, that didn't end well.
So let's talk about the evil that has struck Southern California, San Diego County.
HLB?
HLB.
Yeah. It could be a serious issue.
No. It is.
It is a serious issue. It could become a horrible issue.
Yeah.
So hopefully they will be able to get it under control. And we talked about it
last week.
Because most of the state has been under a quarantine for the citrus psyllid for years now. But there's two quarantines.
Yes.
Now. There's the citrus psyllid quarantine and there's the HLB quarantine, which are two completely different things.
And from reading it, you have to read carefully to figure that out, that it's two separate ones. The citrus psyllid. You made me. I had to look and look and look and then realize what it was. We had to pay attention. So the state has how many quarantine zones for the psyllid? It's a half a dozen, four, five, six, something like that.
Maybe.
And most areas of the state where citrus is grown are in quarantine because of the bugs. So you have to treat citrus trees and plants before they're moved around the state.
Yeah.
Now.
So don't move them around the state.
Correct.
I mean, if you buy a citrus tree, don't take it someplace else. Plant it in your area. It's illegal, I guess, for lack of a better word. But
and then now the HLB, which is the citrus greening disease, for which there is currently no cure, but there is some promising
research
on the horizon. Well, there's promising research.
Right.
There hopefully is a cure on the horizon.
You see Riverside.
But the disease quarantine area is four counties, which parts of San Diego County are now in. It's San Bernardino, Orange, and L.A. counties. No, Riverside, so it must be five, and Riverside. All have confirmed finds of the citrus greening disease. It takes quite a while, months to years, for it to manifest itself in the trees, and it has now been positive, confirmed in North County, San Diego.
Two trees in a backyard residence.
And it does say in the article that the county and the state and the USDA are providing treatment for these trees. What it doesn't say in there is, what is the treatment, George?
Those trees will not exist.
Yeah. They remove
That's
them.
That's the treatment.
And then I thought part of the HLB protocol, too, was if they find a tree that is infected with it, that all trees within like a 1,000-foot radius of that tree have to be removed as well.
I don't know if they remove them or they inspect them, but you're right. There's some protocol that goes out much further than those trees.
Go ahead.
Well, we were talking last week about not moving any citrus leaves, branches, stems, or trees, and fruit is a little more nuanced. Is that how we would say it?
Yes.
So you can move washed and clean fruit between homes as long as there are no stems or leaves attached to it.
Right.
There too.
Right. So you can still give your neighbor across the street some citrus from your yard.
But make sure it's washed or keep it because this is not controllable right now. The research involves the Australian finger lime and a peptide they found in it, and they have been doing testing of it.
That is antimicrobial properties.
Antimicrobial peptides. And it has shown very good promise. They're talking about 2023, it being commercially ready and available in 2023.
Well, talking about testing for the disease, one of the problems that you pointed out was that you can have a tree that part of it is infested or is infected with the disease, but the other half of the tree is not. So depending on where they sample, they may or may not catch it.
I couldn't understand why it was taking so long to get confirmed tests and positive tests. And in that, it's exactly it. You can grab a piece of the tree that is totally disease-free, and it's over in another branch of the tree. So that tree is still infected and can still spread it if the bug gets on it and goes from it to another tree. But I don't know how many how many samples they take per tree to, and then they have to keep all the individual tree samples separate.
Yeah. The bug that transmitted, you said the bug, it's an Asian citrus psyllid. We did a Wednesday Wisdom this week on that. So if you go to Facebook, you can look. There are two excellent links, one from the county newsletter that discusses the disease in detail and the quarantine area. And then the second one is from UCIPM that discusses the insect.
And the insect itself is ubiquitous. It's everywhere in most areas of the state. And it is incumbent upon homeowners and backyard growers to control it if they have it in their yards to help slow or prevent the spread while they are coming up with this cure.
Yeah.
The horticultural oil will take care of it very well. The contact pyrethrin sprays will take care of it very well.
Even insecticidal soap will kill the
all
the
of those things
while it's
and so keep an eye out for it. I guess
if you have a question, you can bring a sample of it into either of our stores,
absolutely,
and we'd be happy to take a look. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next Saturday morning with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.